Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to I'm On My Period Piece Spooky Edition 2019. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Molly.
And we're the Sherman Sisters. Last week we watched a flick we really did not vibe with.
I don't even remember what it was.
It was Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It went in and out of my brain, like, immediately.
But this one, I love.
Yeah.
We watched The Others, the 2002, I believe, flick. 2001.
2001.
Starring...
just right after...
Moulin Rouge.
Moulin Rouge.
Starring Nicole Kidman. And, bitch, I have fun. I like this film.
Yeah, it was fun.
But before we start talking about the flick...
Sure.
Let's sync up, bitch.
Okay.
What have you been up to?
Thank you for asking. Very little. It's good. It's a good thing.
We love that.
It's a good thing. Had my first full week of work. Really liked
it.
Really liked the folks there. Which is, you know,
you're nice. Vibing with the culture.
Vibing. Honestly, just vibing.
It's cool as hell.
Yeah, it's cool as hell. I'm corporate now.
Yeah.
And I love being corporate.
Yeah. Like,
people always ask me, Molly, do you miss the hustle? Do you miss the bustle? No. I love being corporate.
Yeah.
You
know, there reaches a point where, like, startup life is just a lot.
I'm done.
It's
I'm
a
done.
Lot.
D-O-N-E.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, been good. This weekend took it pretty easy. Went and kind of spent the whole day with Craig and Jenny and Nicole and then linked up with Dirty later. But we watched the UT game.
Yeah, you said rooted for y'all's locals.
Honestly, I just like hollering at the TV with people. do I think football should be illegal? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I hold space for that in my brain. And while it's not illegal, I'll root for that one team.
Right.
I just want people from Texas to win.
I feel that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's like I feel like adopted by this city enough to root for the Longhorns.
That's what I told Dad the other day. I was like, you know, I know that you tend to root against them anytime you get a chance. But like... I don't know. It's the hometown team,
yeah,
you know?
I don't feel that way. But then, you know, right after I watched, like, the first half of the Aggie game before it became very clear how things were going to go.
Did we win or lose?
We didn't win.
We were outscored.
We were outscored by Alabama, which is fine. They're allowed to have that.
Okay, yeah. I forgot that we were playing Bama because, of course, we were going to lose that.
Yeah, no, that was...
Duh.
That was... bad. Anyway, then watched Hocus Pocus and Skeleton Key.
Oh my god, Skeleton Key is so
it's so good.
Scary.
Nicole was the only person in the room who hadn't seen it before, and she kept trying to like throw out guesses, and it's like, you're close, but no one can really nail exactly what happens till the end.
Bruv. See, that's one of the few films, boy, I cannot talk. My brain.
God, you're drunk.
Flowers for Algernon. It's not even that. I know. I wish Parker liked scary movies because Skeleton Key and like this, The Others, like there's some where it's like, it's not that it's that scary. It's that like, there's like a journey you go on when you're trying to figure out what's going
it's
on.
It's a puzzle.
Yeah. It's kind of like a puzzle and it's like fun to go on that journey with it, but he doesn't do any of it.
We were watching Skeleton Key. First of all, every scene they have of Kate Hudson, like powering down for bed is the biggest joke. Like it's always like it couldn't be more male gazey.
Yeah.
But Dirty was like, I remember having feelings about this, and I was like, I get it.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
And I was like, honestly, she was like so the template of a cool girl.
She really was. I honestly stand.
I know every role she had was like cool.
I would, you know what I'd like to watch again is How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
That's just a good movie.
I haven't seen it in such a long time.
That's just a good movie.
What good industry.
That canary yellow dress.
Right.
Iconic.
The chemistry between the two of them.
It was great.
Wonderful.
And then also, anywhere you go, I'll follow you down.
We love Matthew McConaughey in this house. In this house?
We love him.
We stan Matthew McConaughey.
But then also, you know, she was an Almost Famous.
And yeah, like, which I've never actually seen.
That's stupid.
That's a period piece.
Yeah. You gotta watch it.
We should.
You would really like it. Yeah, I love her. But then she sort of disappeared and then made Fabletics.
And she's like a Weight Watchers spokesperson now.
Okay, I don't really love
that. Not ideal.
I don't love that.
I don't love that. But like, she had like a baby at like 40 or something. So I feel like she's like on a weight loss journey. And as a mother of two children myself, I respect it because she gains so much weight as a pregnant person. Like, do you remember when she had her oldest? She gained like 75 pounds and she's somebody who weighs like 110. You know?
I don't remember her gaining weight.
Oh my God. It was so funny. Like at the end of her pregnancy with her oldest, she was like, Yeah, I just really went for it. Just gained so much weight. And it was so cute. Like, at the end of the pregnancy, like, her face was really round. And she, like, just didn't
look She's like the kid. She's so cute.
She's so cute. She was just having fun with it.
But I like that whole family so much.
I do, too.
Brother, I love them. Oliver, great.
So cute.
And also, their half-brother, Wyatt.
Is Oliver... Yeah, you're right. Wyatt's the half-brother.
Wyatt's the half-brother.
And I love Kurt Russell. And I love Kurt and Goldie.
Wyatt's cool.
He is cool.
Wyatt's got, like, 70s boy cool.
Well, he looks exactly like what you would expect totally a child of those two to look like.
Her face looks, like, completely different when she's pregnant.
I know.
And good for her.
And, you know,
she seems happy, and she deserves it.
Jessica Simpson had a baby a few weeks before Marigold was born, Birdie, and she has lost 100 pounds since that birth. And she's like, I'm almost back to my pre-pregnancy weight. She gained 100 pounds.
Yeah, I know. People were kind of cruel online.
No, I mean, good for her. She really enjoyed that pregnancy. I bet she loved it.
I think that's great. Anyway, that was mostly what I was up to. And then you and I obviously went with Nicole to see Orville Peck.
Yeah, that was a fun time.
It was good. Yeah, Louisiana Purchase opened.
I loved her. She's
apparently on season 3 of Dragula.
Which we gotta watch, apparently.
Yeah, gotta watch. She has star power.
She really does.
I want to see her go on Drag Race, not because I think that's the end-all be-all of drag. But it's
a good exposure.
But it's the exposure, Mama. It's the exposure. And Austin needs that.
And she, right, we have yet to have a Texas queen win.
We've had a few Dallas queens. We've had no Houston
queens. But they haven't won.
We've had no Austin. No, we've had Cintiali was the only Austin queen.
I know, but have we had a Texas queen win the show? Right. Nope. Asia O'Hara should have won.
Yep.
But her butterfly stunt unfortunately backfired.
That's the risk you take.
Oh, God, what a shame. Anyways.
Oh, Kate Hudson also had that. Remember she didn't cut her kid's hair? It was like the Judaism thing? Remember that was so sweet.
He's so cute. He's like a big boy now. He's like 15 or something.
I know.
You know.
Sorry, just thinking about Kate Hudson. I'm on her wiki.
We honestly love her. I really do. I think she's just got such a bubbly, like she seems so much like Goldie, you know? It's like mom and me, you know? Like mom is the Goldie.
She's one of those people. So I was talking about my new favorite movie of all time, Charlie's Angels 2000, with Nicole. And I was like, look, it just has everything I want. It's like self-aware, tongue-in-cheek kind of garbage. And it's got two great actresses and Cameron Diaz.
Okay. But you know what the thing is? She's not a good actress, but I love Cameron Diaz.
That's what I was saying, though.
I want her to flourish.
You know what? First of all, I want her to come back to acting because I have something to say.
What?
That movie that she was in with Tom Cruise, Night and Day.
I never saw it.
Night with a K.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Listen, shut up. It was a really good movie.
I never saw it.
It was really entertaining, and she was pretty good in it.
I never saw it, but, like, you know, she and Drew Barrymore are, like, still, like, besties.
My girl, Drew. My thought of that is, like, look, Cameron D, not a good actor.
No, but she's, like, I think she's a good person.
But if you were, like, Cameron D's coming through, I would clean my house so quick. Right. So quick. I would, like, make her a drink, and I would be, like, I gotta be honest, you seem fun.
She does seem fun.
Yeah.
Although, you know what? Actually, I think there were some blind items saying she's, like, a complete nightmare on set. But, like...
Oh, she has no right to be. If you're going to be a nightmare, you better be a good actor.
I think the thing was that she was not self-aware about her BO situation. And also that apparently she was kind of, like, she just had, like, gross habits, I think was the deal.
I did maybe clock her like as she's a stinky, like, a breath girl.
A little bit of a dirty girl. You know? Yeah. Like, I feel like I remember reading, like...
She's also had unhealthy hair for the past 20 years.
She really has.
Honestly, like, I would do anything for her to, like, I think she stinks, and I think her hair is unhealthy.
But I think she's a good person, and that's what matters.
People were saying she's a nightmare because she was a stinky girl.
Well, like, apparently her assistants were like, it's gross. Like, she's gross. Like, she needs to wash her hair. She needs to wash the ass.
But she doesn't need to wash her hair. Like, she needs to not. She needs to... She needs to, like, leave it alone for a few years.
Let it mellow.
Or at least, like, when I was watching Charlie's Angels, I was like, enough. Like, let your hair be itself.
Oh, no.
She's one of those people, too, where she's like, I just want to remind you guys, I know it's easy to forget, I'm Hispanic.
Oh, yeah. I do forget. Diaz.
Isn't she Cuban?
I don't know what the... Let me look it up.
She's a Cuban or, like, Spanish.
Cameron Diaz. God, I forget about her.
Work from the master.
An early work from the master.
Cameron Diaz.
She was born in San Diego, California, raised in Long Beach.
Okay.
Can you tell me about her family? Oh, an import. Her father her mother was an import-export agent. She worked for Vandelay Industries.
Of course.
And her father was Emilio Diaz, a foreman of the California Oil Company, Unocal. She has a sister named Jimena.
Okay, but wait.
Her father's family is Cuban.
That's what I thought.
And Diaz's ancestors had originally moved from Spain to Cuba.
She's one of those blue-eyed Cubans, or she's, like, from mommy?
Her mother was from predominantly English and German ancestry.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
No, I mean, that's a thing. It's, like, colorism is present almost everywhere, unfortunately.
But it's, like, the same thing with, like, Christina Aguilera, where she was, like, just want to remind you guys I am Latina.
Yeah.
Like, I know that we spent the first 10 years of my career pretending that was not the case.
Right. I think she's married to Benji Madden.
And that's stupid.
That's so stupid. But, like...
But, like, of course she married a punky boy because she was a stinky girl.
Look, I do love her. I love her. I don't know. I can't help it.
You're not going to be at the talent show, so I can say this. And anyone who listens and will be at the talent show, that's just the collateral damage, babe. Yeah. But, so I've landed on my talent being a series of, oh, okay, I see it, impressions.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
They're not amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of like that one, that Annette Bening one.
Yeah.
It was like an impression, but not an impersonation, you feel?
Right, yeah. Right. So I've got a few, but one of them that I just added to the canon is Lee Nash.
Oh, I love that.
I know. And Nicole's bringing a wig and a butterfly clip for me.
I love her. Me and my sister would die for anything.
Die for anything. I love Lee Nash. And it's really easy to do an impression of her when you're singing along.
Yeah.
But
singing voice is easy.
That's
to
what
do.
I'm saying. That's, yeah. But it can veer into Drew Barrymore territory kind of easily.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're from the same collection.
You're going to have to put a serene smile on your face when you do a Lee Nash impression, mm-hmm, too. Mm-hmm. So, Craig...
they're from that collection that I aspire to always be from. Like, forever, my whole life.
Do you want
life.
Me to try out my talent?
Yeah,
show
please
the
do.
Movie man what you're telling me. I asked Craig to give me a song to sing.
Yeah.
He assigned me Skater Boy, which was a great choice.
Oh my god! Yeah, that's gonna be some Drew vibes.
I think that I'm gonna do that one, but you can give me any song, and I'm gonna try my level best to do my Lee Nash.
Okay, let me think.
And if it's bad, we're not gonna keep it.
Let me look at my Spotify and see what I've been listening to lately. Why don't you do like? Oh, this is a good one. Life in a Northern Town.
Ay, oh, my, zi-doo-n-zi. No, that wasn't actually great.
No, you know, it works.
I need something avocati. Like, I need, like, well, first of all, she's proto-avocati, but I need something, like, with proto. Words.
Okay, let's see, what do I have? What have I been listening to? Discover Weekly is not helpful to me in this regard. Why don't you sing, California English? Or like
Lindsay, that one starts with Garbo words. Like
or like
you're making this hard on purpose.
I'm just looking at Vampire Weekend songs. Why don't you sing Hannah Hunt? That's an easy one.
A gardener
told me some plants move,
but I could not believe it. Me and I feel like I'm hearing myself.
You're
and it's making
some
it harder.
Bob Dylan.
No, it's making me. Yeah, I know. Well, my Bob Dylan. I'm like, God told me some plants move. I maybe I'll do my Bob Dylan. But listen, Skater Boy worked out really well for that.
Yeah.
Me and Hannah Hunt. You kind of have to like act surprised on going on a down note a little bit. Like, what more can I say?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You
Thanks,
know?
I went to Visible Change.
Yeah. Oh, that's so nice of you. Thank you. Oh, that's... No, you guys are so nice. Thank
I
you.
I love her. She's so
I know, but that's, like, what she do. She'd be like, oh,
no,
so
I know.
Come on, stop.
I know. What is it about her and Drew Barrymore that, like, I just absolutely love? They're so pure.
What sun sign are they? I'm certain
know.
They're
that's
the same one.
As me?
As them.
Oh. I don't know. That's a good question.
Lee Nash birthday. Look it up. Look it up.
I'm doing
right
it.
Now.
Gosh. June 27th, so she is not a Gemini. She is, but she's cuspy. She's cuspy.
She's a Cancer?
I don't know what comes after Gemini.
She's a Cancer.
And then Drew Barrymore.
I bet a Pisces.
February 22nd.
She's a Pisces.
Wow.
God, I'm getting too good at this. I regret to inform you girls that magic is real.
Would you have guessed that I was a Gemini?
I don't think so.
For the film, for the Gary Greasy film.
I don't know, though, but no
Ingrid
Gemini I know thinks they're Geminis. Cusp is not real, girl.
Well,
it's
no,
not
I'm
real.
Saying, I'm saying she says if she was guessing, she would guess I was a Taurus.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
Just because I'm a lot like you. Anyways.
Anyway, true.
Wow. God, I'm good at that. I'm not as good. I feel like what I gave you today was like an absolute D-list Lee Nash, and I do trust it'll be better live.
You know, it just takes
my body's going to call on it.
Yeah.
Skater Boy worked out really well in the car. I was impressed with myself, but I just, we'll get there.
I'm going to listen to some Sixpence tomorrow.
I might do my Bob Dylan.
That's good. It was a good one.
Would you guys like to hear a 28-year-old woman do a Bob Dylan impression?
It's great. You should put your Anna wig on.
That's a great idea.
I mean, it's just a blonde Bob Dylan, but it's funny, you know?
What was the... Oh, I was going to do I Want You because it's got the most Bob Dylan lyrics. The guilty undertaker sighs, the lonesome organ grinder cries, the silver saxophone says I should refuse you. There, it's all like, oh, you said nothing. You said a lot of words, yeah. But you said nothing.
He loves that.
I've talked a lot about me and my impressions. Probably for the past 15 minutes.
I don't even know if we've been recording for 15 minutes.
It's just...
We have, right at.
Wow. How've you been?
Bitch, I've been great. Friday night, y'all came to meet us in Georgetown.
I forgot about that.
We had some, what I thought was pretty mediocre Italian food. Everyone else at the table seemed to be crazy about
because,
it.
Because, Lindsay... It's the best kind of Italian food. Paper menu Italian food is where it's at.
Yeah, I think I just ordered the wrong thing.
They have a Frank Sinatra impersonator with a weekly standing date there.
That is impressive. And they did have those checkered tablecloths.
I don't know what did, I don't know what more you wanted.
So my marinara was underwhelming.
Oh, I'm so sorry that we weren't in gay old Italia.
Well, no, but that's pretty basic to make a marinara. But I think the next time I'm just
going to... You should have gone with the cream sauces.
No, I should have gone with the avocado pie, which is what Mom got, and it was delicious. Wait. It's a pizza with avocados and lemon zest on it. Yum.
Okay.
It's delicious. Okay. I took some bites of it, but... and then we stayed in Georgetown on Friday night and Saturday night because I am a really, really nice person, and I agreed to go to Baylor Homecoming, which was so... exhausting. I mean,
did they let Chip and JoJo lead the parade?
They honestly should have. Really, truly, that they are the mascots of Waco at this point. No, we got there. We were towards the end of the parade route, which was good because we got there a little bit late. And Tig was feeling the whole fantasy. She was like, "Oh my gosh, there's bears." And we did not know. Baylor, in the 10 years since... the reason we went is that Parker is his class's permanent class president. And it was his 10-year anniversary, or like reunion or whatever.
Do y'all have to do that every 10 years now?
I guess so. Or maybe... We probably should have gone 5 years ago, but we didn't. But his name was like on the invitation to his class for this like tailgate or whatever. So we went, and he was also like, it'd be fun to show Tig the campus. And so we were like, we'll go to the parade, we'll go show her the bears and the bear habitat, and then we'll go to this little tailgate thing, and then we'll head home. But there was, like, awkward, like, amounts of time to fill kind of between things. First of all, in the 10 years since Parker graduated, they added a girl mascot. So they already had the boy, Bruiser. They added a girl.
And it's her equality.
Her name is Marigold. We had no idea. And they have a little Marigold crown on her. And I was like, wow, people are going to think we named our baby after this bear.
Oh, that didn't even occur to me.
I hope they don't.
Y'all don't suck.
Word. So we saw the parade, whatever, went inside. Oh, well, Tig was running laps around. There was a statue and she was like running laps around it. And she goes, "Daddy, he used to be alive. And then someone put a bad spell on him and now he's a statue." And I was like,
"Are you asking or telling?"
She was telling. And we were like, okay, yeah, that's probably how statues are made. You're right. And then, we went to this, like, really lame tailgate that was, like, not worth the time. And then we headed home, and we were so exhausted. Oh, my gosh. And then, like, Sunday, Parker and I came back home, did the laundry, did the food prep, whatever. Because this week is going to be the gauntlet.
When do y'all leave?
It's Friday. So the girls' school was closed on Monday for Indigenous Peoples Day, but the teachers were doing their... staff development.
Did the school tell you it was Indigenous Peoples
Day? No, you know how schools are closed on, air quotes heavily, Columbus Day, but okay. I don't recognize that holiday.
I was just curious if this was a you decision or a them decision.
No, they just called it staff development.
Okay.
And so, but we're, I'm going to say Indigenous Peoples.
That's good.
We went right back up to Georgetown and I hung out with Mom. Me and the girls did. Parker did a little bit of work and then he and I had to go deal with getting a new car because the lease on the old Prius was ending and we were like, it's probably time to just buy a bigger car, whatever.
So we got that all handled, and I'm glad we did, but, like, we're just, the first half of this week is just, like, a lot of prep work for, like, it's, like, hurry, do all this work so you can, like, allegedly have fun, but, like, Disney with kids seems like it's going to be a grind. I don't know. We'll see. I'm sure we'll have, like, some fun, but it's going to be, like, everybody, all men on deck, you know? Like, yeah. We're always going to be doing something. So we'll see. We're leaving Friday morning or Friday afternoon, I guess. And just thought of like taking Tig on an airplane.
Dog.
That child has so much energy. It's nuts. Like I really need to find like a toddler track team or a preschooler track team.
Oh, she'd be great at that.
Cause she just loves to run. Like when we were on the Baylor campus, she was just running laps. Just not stopping. And we were like, where are you getting this from?
I wish that was me.
Me too. I told Parker, I think I'm going to have to learn how to enjoy running at least like 2 miles or something.
You can do 2 miles.
That's what I'm thinking. Because I'm thinking when she's like in middle school, that'll probably be like a good thing for us to do together in the mornings. Like, let's get up and just go run 2 miles. You get your energy out before school so you're not going to be a complete disaster for your teachers. We can have time to talk. That's like a thing we can bond over. And then, you know, you're good to go.
Really sweet that you think she's going to want to do that in middle school.
Well, no, I feel like in middle school you have to have, like, some compulsory, like, mom and daughter things that you do together.
Oh, you're going to make it happen.
Yes, I'm going to make it happen.
Get your ass up. We're going running.
Right. Like, okay. We're going to go run before school. But, like, that's one of those things where, like, when you are in middle school, you act like you don't want to be around your parents, but you really kind of do want them to invest in you, you know? It's like you want your own autonomy. You don't want them in your social spaces at all. Mm-hmm. But there is, like, a thing, like, I remember mom being, like, it is very loving for parents to give their kids boundaries, and kids want boundaries. And I was like, no, I don't. But, like, now looking back, I'm like, I think I did. I think I wanted her to give me some, like, parameters so that I knew that I was, like, safe and cared for. Like, she wasn't going to let me, like, go out and party or, like, okay. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Yeah,
and, like, that she was keeping tabs on me. Like, not in a way where it was, like, you can't do anything that I don't know about. But just, like, very, like, hey, I know where you are. If you need me to come pick you up, let me know. Mm-hmm. You know, very that. So, and, like, I feel like mom always had her ways. Like, she was talking about this the other day about how when she would take me to school, she and I would just chitter-chatter the whole time about whatever. And she's like, with you would, like, make mix CDs mm-hmm. and then talk to her about the music that y'all were listening to. And she was like, mm-hmm. and that was my, like, our entry point for conversation. Aww. That was, like, the way that we bonded on the way to school. And so you just kind of have to find your way with each kid, like, what is going to be the thing that they want to talk to you about. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if we had, like, a set, like, in the mornings, like, we're going to get up and run together, and if you want to talk to me, you can, and if you don't, that's fine, but, like, this is going to be something that we're going to do that's good for your brain, and it's good for your body, and it's going to help you feel settled at school so you can focus on your schoolwork, and, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. but that's just my pie-in-the-sky idea of what I want to do with her, but it seems like it would be, like, a positive thing.
Well, you got a few
like
months.
A bonding. Yeah, I've got a long time. God. Thank God for that, because, listen, middle school kids.
Exaggerating time frames to make them shorter is funnier to me now as opposed to spend a month in Vegas last weekend. Just because, like, Anna, very casually, and God love her, she is 8 years my senior. Recently was like,
I think I knew that.
Oh, yeah, it's fine. But she was like, well, you know, I'm like a year older than you, so. And I thought about it, and I was like, I accept it. If you're willing to accept it, I accept it. Hey, as 1 year older.
We love that.
Yeah.
Love that, Anna. Did not realize, I guess, that she was 3 years older than me, even.
Mm-hmm. She looks like a young spring chicken.
She really does.
She and I blasted our shoulders out yesterday at the gym. So hey. We're still young, baby.
Hey, baby. Mm-hmm. Getting them joints in order, honey.
Yep.
You're only as young as your joints.
It hurt. Mm. It hurt, but, you know, when I'm jacked, you'll all be sorry.
Wait till
it's over for you, hoes.
Are jacked. Should we start talking about this flick?
Oh, sure.
Parker asked me what this movie was about in front of you, and I was like, oh, I love it because, you know, it's got one of those, like, surprise twist endings, and he was like, isn't that kind of gimmicky? And honestly, I don't think in this film the ending is gimmicky.
I don't think so either, but I also fundamentally disagree with Parker on that because I love a twist.
We love a twist.
I love a twist. There was a twist the other night. In the Succession finale, though it was somewhat telegraphed if you looked for it, but right. We love a twist.
I'm going to avoid spoilers on that.
Yeah.
Parker and I got to finish Fleabag. We're two episodes in.
It really shouldn't take this long.
It really, well, we finished Russian Doll first was the issue.
Yay. Real quick, because I tried to summon it in the car.
What a guy.
No.
I know, I have to do that to get myself there.
Like, there was, like, a P or a B or, like, something you did.
What did I say?
It was, like...
Oh.
that, like, you call upon. Because I thought about doing it for
give
my
Give me a phrase to say with P's and B's.
Paternalis wine...
Paternalis. You gotta, like, blow your lips out.
Paternalis. Okay.
What a guy. Paternalis Vermentino. 2017. Texas High Plains.
yeah, okay, so it's
Fredericksburg,
like,
Texas.
Okay, that's another one.
Fredericksburg, Texas.
Yeah, it's like a shortening. Like
yeah,
a
she, like, it's staccato.
Texas.
Yeah. Nicole Goodman.
Seems like she's supposed to talking from the front of her mouth.
Yes, very that.
Pushing some air through her cheeks.
Yeah, very that. Okay. And she'll kind of blow, like, the peas and the bees through her lips. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got
studied art history. What a choice.
God, I wish I'd studied art history.
Yeah, I regret it all the time. That's why I got this massive tattoo.
We'll get a master's in it someday when education is free.
Just get a tattoo, bitch. It's better than a degree.
So,
anyway, this flick.
So, I think I saw this in theaters. Mm-hmm. I guess you didn't. Nicole Kidman. I don't even know that I caught her character's name. But her name is Grace Stewart.
That's an interesting...
I just didn't really show
Do you feel like that's a historical call upon to the fact that she's, like, super Catholic?
Maybe. Maybe.
And living in a British principality?
Maybe. But it's not Stuart, like, S-T-U, like Mary, though.
Oh, it's like E-W?
E-W.
That's wrong.
That's incorrect. Anyways, the beginning of the movie, she wakes up from what you think is a nightmare, screaming. And it's 1945. It's the end of World War II, or just
I
right after
it was
World War II.
The end of the First World War.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
It says 45, and she talks about Nazis at some point. She mentions
them. You're right.
So she has two children, Anne and Nicholas, and they are both sensitive to light. So
photosensitive.
Yeah.
Actually, there was a specific term, and I will pull it up. Go on.
So at the beginning, she has three people that show up to her front door offering to, or hoping to get work
with
as servants.
With an exciting opportunity to be your own boss.
Right. So there's Bertha, just kind of an older lady. Fionnuala something is the actress. Fionnuala Flanagan.
Yeah.
A little bit Irish.
The
elderly gardener, Edmund Tuttle, and then a little girl named Lydia, who's, like, probably in her early 20s, and she's mute.
The term is xeroderma pigmentosum.
Xeroderma pigmentosum is mm-hmm. what they have that makes them photosensitive?
Yeah.
Okay. So when she invites Bertha in, she's like, okay, let me tell you the whole thing. You have to lock the door you just came through before you open the next one anytime you're crossing through a room. Every curtain has to be closed because my kids cannot handle any light, yada, yada. Just, like, really, really serious about how she wants things to be run.
Also, just to maybe hint that this might be a little bit of
a spoily.
Well, no. I think it was a bit of her imagination because that condition is so rare that 1,000 people in the world have it.
Right.
In the entire world.
Well, her kids do say something when they are... later. They're like, oh, wow, it doesn't hurt anymore.
Yeah.
So, anyways, they have kept the house, and it might explain why she kind of, like, went mad and, you know, whatever.
Sure.
So, she's very religious. They show her giving the kids lessons, and she's, like, making them recite Bible verses, and the kids are kind of, like, not having it. Like, they're like, okay, I would have denied Christ because I don't want to get beheaded.
So, only the real will recall.
Yeah.
A few spooky things happened in the 90s. Yeah. One was Columbine. Very mm-hmm. sad. Mm-hmm. Very sad. We remember. We will always remember because it kept happening 30, 40 times after that.
Yeah, happened all the time.
But another spooky thing that happened was a little band called DC Talk.
Yep.
And they were a Christian contemporary band
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that made it so big in the CCM world that uh-huh. they made their own Bible. No, they didn't, like, write their own Bible. It was, like, their own version.
They had a book.
Oh, there were two. They were both.
Okay.
Maybe. No, maybe not. Maybe they don't have a Bible.
They had a book that was, like,
I just think the whole aesthetic
martyrs.
Was leather at the time. So
yeah,
I'm
maybe
conflating the two.
Yeah.
But they had a book that they put out for teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
For teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And also the front of it, if I recall, kind of looked like book from Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, it had like a seal kind
like
of thing on it.
Like a weird eye.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the whole book was about teenagers.
No, it was just about martyrs.
Just martyrs in general. Yeah. Some of them were kids, though.
I don't know if they were necessarily.
Because they called upon the fake Cassie story.
No, you're conflating two things. There was that.
Okay.
And there was also Michael W. Smith's song.
Are you sure Cassie wasn't in the book, though?
I'm pretty sure.
I feel like she was.
There was a separate book about Cassie.
You can't tell, but Lindsay and I have pointed fingers in each other's faces right now.
There was
now.
A separate book about Cassie, and I think it was called, like, She Said Yes,
we
the Cassie
Bernal
story. We
have not sparred this hard than the last time my family started talking about how Goodfellas is the greatest movie.
Okay, but it is, though.
No, I know, but the way we talk to each other, it's like we're screaming, like we all agree.
Goodfellas is the best.
Goodfellas is the best movie.
No, I was of the age at the time.
Okay.
At the time, you see, nowadays
kids, you can't do this.
Kids don't remember. But
the children have forgotten. The children have forgotten DC Talk, famously.
And Michael W. Smith had a song called Now Is Your Time. I should not be laughing about this.
No, but you are allowed to laugh at it a little bit.
Because we
were all, like, collectively traumatized by a fake story.
Yeah, because the thing is, she did not any of that. None of that happened.
I feel like if you're listening to this and you don't know any of that, it's going to be super confusing to you. Basically.
Mm-hmm.
And the very sad thing that happened at Columbine that is, I can't underscore enough, was a pretty big bummer.
Which we read the book Columbine, and I cannot recommend that highly enough.
Oh my God, so good.
One of the best books I've read in the last decade, so truly.
Good. But he spent a good chunk talking about this girl Cassie's story because the Christian community immediately glommed onto her as an example of a martyr.
Mm-hmm.
And this
story, and they also like coalesced on this idea that Dylan and what's-his-face were like...
Eric
were like antichrist and they were out to kill Christians and yada yada, but like really that, and that they were like goth.
They were indiscriminate like none of that with was their true. Killing. Like they weren't really goth. They actually weren't even part of the trench coat mafia, which was a real thing at Columbine, but it was just goth kids who wore trench coats. They
and it was
part
like
that.
Kids that were older than them that had already graduated.
Yeah.
They were just kind of like, and it didn't even seem like they were like picked on, truly.
No, they weren't.
They were just mentally
psychopath
ill.
And depressive. Yeah. But so they... Anyway, there was some truth to them asking if she was a Christian, apparently, but then they did, like, let someone else live who said yes.
Right.
But this girl said yes, she was killed. But in the story that had traveled all the way down, like, chain... I will never forget the night I finally learned how to access my email account after giving my email address to a bunch of people. So, like, I opened my email for the first time. It was, like, sixth grade.
And there's just
I had
chain
like
letters.
1,000 chain letters.
Oh, yeah.
And they were all spooking the shit out of me. It was
yeah.
4 to 7 people or your mom, like, will die.
Yeah.
And so it was like, shit. Yeah. And
oh, my God.
Anyway, right but they're like, you know.
Yeah.
The story that had been passed on to me was like, two school shooters come in with a Bible. They ask everyone to spit on it. And they all spit on it. Except they get to one girl and she won't spit on it. She cleaned it off. With her hair.
Oh, my
and
God.
They killed her. And, like, no part of that was true. But
no.
Also, like, I remember some girl in my Bible study getting worked up about it. Like, I would clean spit off a Bible with my hair. It's like, oh, God.
Oh, no, it's a book. I
but
would
you
not
have terrible hair, so I get that.
But also, I'm like,
it's just a book. What you've done is,
idolized
the book. Like,
that book
paper.
Is not God.
Paper.
Right.
So, anyway, all this coming back to these kids being, like, yeah, I would deny Christ with my words. It wouldn't be with my heart. What, God wants me to die? That's stupid.
They're like, I'll repent later. And their mom was like, but you would go to limbo. And they're like, no, I would be alive.
That, to me, just felt like a conversation between Gen Z, skipping past millennials.
Right.
And Gen X to talk to boomers.
Boomers.
Yeah.
Correct.
Like, that whole conversation was the bridge between Gen Z and boomers.
Right.
Like, that's stupid. Why would I do that?
That's so stupid. So anyways, the kids start talking about a, group of people that they've seen. They call them the others, specifically a little boy named Victor, but then she's like, there's this, you know, this mom and a dad and this kind of older lady. She kind of scares me a little bit. And so Grace, the mom, Nicole Goodman, starts hearing some footsteps upstairs and she goes looking and she gets to the attic and finds a Book of the Dead, which is, this is the first time I had been exposed to this concept.
Well, this is also, I should say, inaccurate because they would have taken pictures of them lying down.
I feel like I've seen stylized death
You
portraits.
Have seen them like sitting up before, but apparently at the time, the style, I looked this up on the Internet Movie Database.
Yeah.
The style was to be more lying down than, like, sitting up with,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. So they had basically death portraits of people, including children, which is so disturbing to me. And Grace is rightly disturbed by this. And at this point, Bertha walks in and Grace is like, what are these? And Bertha's like, oh, they're like death portraits. You know?
Oh, Mom, you found me the vacation photos.
She's like,
everything she says is so like
very Irish.
Matter of fact and like harsh and, yeah, Irish.
Well, she's like, I think it was around about last century that these were popular. Whatever. So Grace is like, these are terrible. I want them out of my house. Please go burn them. And she's like, anything you say, Mom. And at this point, Grace finalizes her daughter's communion dress, first communion dress, including a veil. Is that part of the tradition, or was that just stylish at the time?
So, do you know? We haven't talked about this much, but I was actually raised Baptist.
Okay.
And I don't know.
We don't know. Okay, so she gives her daughter this dress, and her little girl's like, Anne is her name. She's like, I want to wear this, Mom. I want to play in it a little bit. And her mom's like, okay, but not on the floor. Don't touch any walls. Don't touch any floor. This dress is clean. It needs to stay clean. You got to go do your communion. And the little girl's like, got it. And then she overhears her daughter playing and goes in. She's like playing with Punch and Judy dolls, which are terrifying.
Gone Girl.
On their own. And she's sitting on the floor and she's like, I told you not to sit on the floor. La, la, la. And then it's the old lady that her little girl had drawn, who's kind of, she says it's like her eyes are blank. It's like she's got cataracts covering her iris. It's the old lady, mm-hmm, that is.
With the sick haircut, too.
The best. A bob.
That bob is.
A curled bob.
Popping
off. And there are a couple of references. The kids keep making references to their mom having gone mad, but then they kind of, like, the son's always like, shh, no, she didn't, Mom. Like, shut up, Anne, she didn't. And Bertha seems to kind of, like, want to draw that out of them. And at one point, Grace is like, I'm going to go get the priest because he was supposed to come we were supposed to have a communion. He was supposed to come visit us after my husband died in dead ways, and we haven't seen him. I don't know what's going on. And Bertha's like, oh, he said he was going to come, Mom. And she's like, I know, but I'm going to go get him. And so she, like, goes out in the fog and, like, keeps walking through the fog. And at this point, you see a conversation between Bertha and Mr. Tuttle. And she's like, we'll tell her all in due time. And it seems kind of sinister. Like, mm-hmm, it seems like Bertha is hiding something. And she's like, in the meantime, Mr. Tuttle, make sure you keep these covered. And he's, like, shoveling leaves over these gravestones. And you're like, what is going on? Oh, my gosh. And what I was telling Parker is I love this movie. Like, you start to suspect that there's something hinky with those people at that point. But you don't really know the whole extent of the whole plot.
Which is also an interesting acting note, I think, to have to take. Yeah. So, hats off to
Fionnuala Finnegan.
Fionnuala Finnegan.
Yeah. Fionnuala's Chip Shop.
That's, okay, I was like, I know I've heard the name
Fionnuala. Fionnuala is a fun name, dude.
Yeah.
It's like Fiona, but with like a little nul in the middle of it.
A little stink on it.
Fionnuala.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what's going on. I think it was the night of the death portraits thing. Grace and Bertha are talking around the fire, and Grace is asking Bertha some questions about, like, why is it that, who's the girl's name? Lydia. Why is she mute? Because I feel like everything I've heard about that, there's some kind of, like, you know, trauma that causes it. And Bertha's like, I don't know. I honestly can't remember. You know, just so many things have gone on. I don't know. And then she's like, why did you leave the house initially? And she goes, oh, it was the tuberculosis, Mom. The whole island was evacuated. And I remembered a little, like, I remembered the main plot points. And so I was like, she's trying to say she died of TB.
Yeah, but also the whole island is evacuated. It's like a really dark way to say, like, everybody died.
Yeah, we all died.
Also, though, I guess we haven't said this up to this point. This is set in Jersey.
Yeah, yes, that's
old
right.
Old Jersey.
It's a Channel Island.
Yes, part of the Channel Islands, which incidentally I think is the second movie.
Guernsey was also one of them, yeah?
Guernsey, yes. And then I was wondering if any part of Atonement takes place there, but no, that's just on
Atonement 2. Still Atonin.
Still Atonin. yeah, the Channel Islands, which are interesting to me because I don't always have a good grasp on, like, things that fall under, like, the Queen's sovereignty that aren't England.
I think Jersey is
So they use the pound, but they are like a
unit. I think they're sovereign, yeah.
Yeah, they have a unicameral, I wikied this just now.
Legislature.
Legislature, and they are, as of like the 2010s, about evenly split on no religion and Roman Catholicism.
Interesting. So I think they just had Church of England skip them completely.
I think that's why they retained sovereignty.
Interesting. Okay.
So no Church of England there. And also kind of explains her Catholicism in the movie.
Yeah. Interesting. So
I think we should just like kind of do it.
Okay. Oh, goodness, there's sirens outside.
It's loud.
You guys are right.
You know, though, every time I listen to a podcast and they're like, oh, my God, you guys, there's thunder. Like, I'm always like, I can't hear shit. Like, why are you interrupting this?
No, every time we talk about the wind tunnel, I can hear the wind tunnel.
Can you?
The AC is popping off.
Anyway, I feel like we should, at some point when we start to feel like we're exhausting our content, which might be soon, as we struggle to find a spooky movie we haven't covered in October's past. I'm burping.
Oh, there's plenty of period pieces, just not spooky period pieces.
Right, that's where it gets... Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But I think that we should take topics and then kind of talk about some of the movies we've gone over. So one of them I think would be interesting would be, like, Catholicism in England.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Brideshead Revisited.
It's come... Yeah, Brideshead was... You did come to my mind.
You did come to my mind.
And then, obviously, anything we've done with, like...
Elizabeth
or Mary.
Stuarts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, these sirens are really just.
I mean, and you live in a nice neighborhood.
I don't know, somebody must have had a heart attack or something.
That's God forbid. Only thing I can think of.
That's it. So, Grace, when she goes out, sorry, I think where I picked up is she goes out in the fog and it is very foggy. And Bertha's like, Mr. Tuttleny, all in due time. And while she's out on this walk, she runs into, wouldn't you know it,
her husband.
Her husband.
With a butt cut.
Christopher Eccleston with a terrible haircut.
Why does he have that haircut?
Girl, I don't know. Even in 2000, period appropriate.
Even in 2001, we were done with that, though.
We were done.
Because it was like...
It wasn't even 1945 appropriate.
With Bram Stoker's Dracula, we were like, it's really cool to let Keanu have a butt cut. No, it's not appropriate.
It was over.
Yeah, but like, there's no clear reason for Eccleston to have that.
No, it's bad.
He also looks like skinny dad.
He does kind of. Yeah, I see that. He, the butt cut highlights the length of Christopher Eccleston's earlobes in an uncomfortable fashion.
The length of his entire face.
Yeah, it does.
He's got a pretty long face.
So she runs into him. She's like, I thought you were dead. I thought you were dead. And they kind of like embrace, but he seems a little distant. He's like kind of holding back. Girl, he's not that into you.
It feels like that other Twilight Zone episode where the soldiers are walking past.
Oh my God, that's a really sad one.
It's a sad one.
So he greets their children, but he's very distant during this little stay. And he like leaves. Like I think he's just like, I gotta go back to the war. And she's like, the war's over. And he's like, no, it's not, girl. I gotta go. Bye.
It's not. That's
and
the internet is.
It says the two embrace and lie motionless together in bed. And no, then he's left.
Like, definitely had sex,
though. Donk. Yeah, they definitely doink.
They donk.
They donk. They donk, which is ghost sex.
He put his ponkus in there.
And in her vajonka.
Oh, I hate it. That's disgusting.
It's really bad.
His ponk is in her vajonka. That's how you have penetrancative sex.
So the next morning, Grace is like out on a walk, and she's like, wow, I can't believe it. I don't know. I thought the war was over. He left, though. And the kids start screaming, and she like runs for the house. And they're like, the curtains are gone. All the curtains are gone. And the sunlight
is... And you know those kids don't love that. Those powder kids.
Yeah. They're powder. So they're like, she covers them with sheets and like runs through the house. And she's like, you guys, we have to shut the lights out. We got to blue. You know, like, she got to... Bertha, come help. And Bertha seems very like, I heard you. You got to quit yelling. Like, which... When I am mad
just
and someone
say no, go low.
When I'm mad and someone won't match my energy, it makes me furious.
Do you hate confrontations with me?
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, a little, yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. Because you're like mellow.
No, I'm not mellow. I just make it a rule not to ever match energy.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Do you want to know? Can
That's
I tell
bitchy.
You? No, it's not bitchy. It's like the right decision. In like interpersonal conflicts, I won't match the energy. And I'll try to keep everything when you I, just like because I want
to. Oh, yeah. No, I do it. When you I to keep it like nonviolent communication.
Right. But like what I'm hearing is this.
Yeah.
I'm, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But I had a former coworker tell me recently, they're like, you always sound like good in meetings. Why is that? And I was like, let me tell you a little secret. And it's something you kind of have to do as a lady. Make your voice deeper.
Yeah.
Like Elizabeth Holmes was kind of onto something.
Yeah, no, you gotta.
And then also, like, sometimes a bigger word does make more sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. No, I feel that. Sometimes the trisyllabic word is the best choice.
Right. Like, I could say, like, oh, we could take a dual approach to this. Or I could say we could take a bifurcated approach.
Oh, and it does sound smarter. And you know it just what? Does.
Some people want that.
Yeah.
It depends. Some people are like, hey, stop the bullshit. But like there's some words where it's like, you know what? I can use the bullshit and you might like it.
Yeah, it's true.
That's all I'm saying, girls. Don't match the energy. Go low. Big word.
Yeah, we love it. So Grace is like, Bertha, help me find the curtains. And she goes and sees Lydia and she's like, what is going on? Tell me what happened. Write it down. And Bertha's like, girl, she's also illiterate. She can't write. Poor Lydia. This poor actress. Her face is doing so much work. She's just like, I don't know. She's like a poor deer in headlights.
That's like my nightmare role.
Right. Right. Like just not talking. You kidding me?
I couldn't even do that.
I can't.
Between takes, I'd be like, oh, thank God.
Let me talk. So the children are...
The children forget.
The children are forgetting.
The children have forgotten.
They start interacting.
Allie Larder.
Well, so she's like... The children have forgotten Allie Larder.
And that was, by the way, I feel like we've like ripped off like half of Lost Culturistas. So much of Culturistas,
yeah.
But the children have forgotten Allie Larder was the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. Well, the children have forgotten Allie Larder.
I got Nowadays from Matt Rogers on.
Yeah.
When he was on Keep It. Well, Nowadays, you can't make jokes like that. And I loved it. No, so the kids go upstairs and they start talking to the others, which Grace is like, they're ghosts. Everyone's ghosts. She like tries to lock what she thinks are just the only ghosts out, which is Bertha, Lydia, and Tuttle. She's like, y'all stay out. And they're like, okay, but...
Did we skip over the part where they told her they were ghosts?
We did.
Yeah.
We did. Gosh, I'm so stupid. No.
Well, I know, but it's okay. I'm here.
Yeah.
Bertha was like, no, girl, we did.
Yeah, we did. Oh, because the way she finds it, the way she finds out that they're dead is that she finds their death portrait in Lydia's room.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Bertha got rid of all the other death portraits, but she couldn't bear to get rid of that one. And it's the three of them, and it says 1891 on it.
Yeah.
Who took the picture, though? Everyone on this island's dying of tuberculosis. Who's, like, propping up these dead bodies and taking pictures of them?
The Annie Leibovitz of...
That is a spooky photo.
It is.
And so, anyway, she's like, oh, my God, those are the people that have been working for me. Oh, my God, oh, my God. And the kids are like... the little girl sees, like, Bertha Mills on the gravestone, and it's, like, 1891. She's like... Nicholas, don't talk to them. They're dead. So the kids and the mom will run inside and the servants are like, yeah, ma'am, we are dead. But the others will find you. They are going to find you.
Yes, and so mom, regret to tell you that we are dead.
We are dead. And the kids go upstairs and they start talking. They enter a room where clearly a seance is happening. And so they see the scary old lady that you saw earlier with the Punch and Judy dolls. And she, it went with a snatched bob. And she's like, jotting stuff down and talking, and the children are kind of answering her, and she's like, what are you doing here? Why are you here? Whatever. And just writing stuff down, and there's someone taking the notes from her and like reading them. And the kids are like, we're not dead. We're not dead. We're not dead. And the daughter, Anne, goes and whispers in the lady's ear as her mother enters the room, Grace, and she's like, don't talk to her. Don't talk to them. And we find out then that Grace smothered her kids. I'm so sad. I was going to say.
Your face, you just smothered her kids.
It's like really hard to say. It's really sad. She murdered her children. And then when she realized, like, they show her kind of realizing it. And it's horrifying. And Nicole Kidman is that bitch. Gosh, she really has the range. And then they show her out in the hall, kind of snuggling her kids after they're like, what happened? And she's like, I came to and realized I had pillows in my hands and I wasn't sure why. And I realized I'd killed you. And then I went and shot myself. And then she's like, and when that happened, I then heard y'all laughing down the hall and playing with the pillows, and I thought, God has been merciful. I didn't actually kill my kids. It was just like a hallucination. That's where we picked up with her at the beginning when she screamed. And so she's like, we're never going to leave this house, though. We live here. And so...
But they're like, what about limbo? Because you said a bunch of things earlier.
Yeah.
And she was like, turns out I didn't know.
I don't know. I guess I didn't know. So the family, including Victor and the woman that plays Catelyn Stark.
Yes. Mom, yes.
They're like, well, we're going to peace out. Obviously, these ghosts are not going to go anywhere anytime soon. So they decide to stay in the house. And that's that on that. The end of the movie shows the other family evacuating, the gate closing with a for sale sign. Bertha's like, can I get you some tea, Mom? And she's like, yes, please. And that's
the end of it. Oh, and Bertha's like, by the way, Lydia went mute when she died.
Oh, when she died, yeah.
Yeah, so that's, you were right. It is a traumatic thing.
Anyways, this movie is really...
But the kids go to the window because they can do that now.
They can. They can, yeah. They're like, oh, wow, the light doesn't hurt us anymore.
So this got me thinking because I watched all of Orange is the New Black. And there's a character in the last two seasons that's kind of an Andrea Yates. I mean, but she just comes up, like, Piper makes friends with her, and someone's like, why are you talking to her? She killed all the kids. Which just made me think about, like, so that happened the same year 9/11 happened.
Came out the week before 9/11, actually.
Yeah, so that happened, 9/11 happened, and then Andrea Yates happened. Mm-hmm. And,
It came out the week before in Spain, but it came out a month before in the U.S.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I remember, I mean, it might have always been this way, but I at least now think of the way people talked about things then as, like the Law and Order Olympics, basically, of, like completely black and white morality.
Yeah.
Because I remember everyone, like... When 9/11 happened, being like, yeah, I can't wait to go kick Afghanistan's ass. And it's like it was the country and not like a splinter cell of people.
Right, totally.
But I also remember the same people in that class. And it's probably myself included. I'm certain it was because it was like, I'm going to make my dad proud by saying things at school that he'll never hear.
Right.
Like, with Andrea Yates, everyone being like, she's going to rot in hell. And like, you think about it now and you're like, she wasn't well.
No, the facts of the case are these. Her doctor told her husband, do not leave this woman alone at home with your children. Period.
And that's on period.
And that's on period. And
that's exactly what the doctor said.
Yeah. And it really kind of goes to show, like, we don't have a great social safety net as far as, like, protecting families and women with postpartum depression and anxiety. It's, like, it's dissociative, you know? Like, Brooke Shields was really... She was really, like, good about talking about her experience with it. She wrote a book about it. But she was like, I remember having, like, really graphic images and thoughts flash through my head. And, I mean, when you're sleep deprived, like, I never had, God bless, thank God, I never had severe postpartum depression or anxiety. I think I had, like, intrusive thoughts. Mm-hmm. I am somebody who's anxiety prone. And so I would, like, especially, like, towards the end of my pregnancy and the very early parts of my Marigold's life, I would, like, have these fears of, like, ways that my children would accidentally get hurt.
Oh, I have fears about ways your kids will get hurt.
Yeah.
That piano in my house?
Right.
Don't let them near it.
Right. Or, like,
it's too heavy.
You know, Tig fell down the stairs in November, like, only the bottom third of it. But she got a black eye from it, and it scared the shit out of me. And, like, so we have, like, a gate at the top of the stairs now that we, like, sometimes I'll be laying in bed, and I'm like, did Parker shut that gate? I'm pretty sure he did. But let me just go. And I, like, go double check it because I'm like, I can't risk that, like, she'll go down the stairs in the middle of the night and, like, trip and, you know, whatever. So stuff like that. But it's like, you know, your brain, there's so much of it that's, like, out of your control. And I remember while I was pregnant with Tig reading Bringing Up Bebe, and it was talking about, like, the way that, like, countries with a better social safety net, like France and the UK, the way that they handle new mothers is with so much understanding that, like, the edge cases, those aren't people that are, like, fundamentally evil or, you know, it's like your brain chemistry is all kinds of out of whack. Your hormones do all kinds of things. And so it's like you really just can't be too careful. So, and women cannot have too much support in the early days of having a baby. It's like, you know, having, and back in the old days, you would usually have your mom or your sister or whatever living with you or close to you. Mm-hmm. And I am lucky that I do, you know. But
you are very much, like, the minority on that.
Right. But, like, a lot of people don't have close family and friends nearby. And I was thinking, like, gosh.
Even still, we don't live with you. Like, that's
No, you don't live with us. Yeah. And I was thinking, like, when I was pregnant with Marigold and, like, about to have her, like, any day, you know, I was a little bit paranoid about what would happen if I went into labor in the middle of the night. Like, what would we do with Matilda? Because your second labor often goes a lot faster. And I was like, what would I do if it was, like, I'm going to have this baby and nobody's awake and I can't get anyone on the phone, you know, like we have to take Matilda to the hospital with us and, you know, whatever, like weird thoughts. But then I started thinking about like when people move to a city where they don't have family, what do you, I mean, like that happens all the time. People are like new to a place. They have a kid already. They don't know enough people to be like, I'm going to call this person in the middle of the night and drop my kid off with them.
Well, I think that's probably like a lot of people our generation have learned. I would hope so. At least it's something I've learned in my life to like, even though I have my family around, to also like make your own family too.
Right, totally.
And like,
yes.
You are going to be happier in community.
Right.
Always.
Right.
So if you have people around to be like, you know what, why don't you just like let me watch the kid for a little while.
Totally. And like, yes. And like when you have kids, especially, it's like you need, it's such a, it's so much fun, but then like it's high highs and low lows. So like, when they are just like driving you crazy, when it's like a perfect storm, like, wow, I didn't get a lot of sleep last night and my toddler's pitching a fit. And Andrea Yates had what, like six kids? She had like
four.
Okay, four. That's too many damn kids for one person to be at home with all day when they're, when they've got like extreme postpartum depression.
Oh yeah.
It's just a lot.
Was he ever punished?
I don't think so. And like, that's, I mean, that just goes to show like, and he got remarried and had other kids, you know, just repeated the cycle. So this, I mean, it was really a tragedy. Dark. It was a tragedy.
In a few places on this episode. Right. Content warning on this episode,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. I mean, but it's a tragedy, but, like, it's, it ties into this film, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think, like,
it was one of those things where, like, it, with the film, I didn't, I feel like if I had watched this as a, maybe as a fifth grader, when it came out, I would have been like, that monster. Terrible person. It's like, it's extreme, it's a tragedy.
No, it's awful.
But like watching this now, you and I were together, like watching the last part of it, it was like, it's actually like a major relief to me that she and her children immediately,
they found
like,
each other.
They reconciled immediately.
Well,
in the afterlife.
I think like, you know, there's a thing that comes up like basically every, this is also dark, every summer, you know, moms will share all these articles about like leaving your kids in a hot car. And there's always like the two, there's two poles. There's people that are like, oh my God, what a dumbass. I would never do that. That could never happen to me. These people are trash and terrible, and they did this on purpose. And then there's people like me where it's like, people are people, and you make stupid mistakes sometimes, and it is the most dangerous thing is thinking that it could not happen to you.
Oh, I knew it could happen to me.
Right. Like, you have to be so aware that you, like, I feel like my whole, the way that I organize my whole life is based on the ethos of sometimes I'm a dumbass. So like, I like constantly, like when somebody's like, hey, can you, like, same thing as simple as, can you bring diapers to school tomorrow? I'm like, hey Siri, set a reminder to bring diapers and put them in the car at 7:30 in the morning because I know I will forget.
Yeah.
Like I treat future me like she is the dumbest bitch I've ever interacted with.
That's a great way to live.
And that's really, cause like, and you just have to set safeguards around all kinds of things. Like with your kids, like you may think like, oh, I would never be so stupid as to like turn my back while my kids are playing with a pair of scissors or whatever, but it's like, no dude, sometimes I, like, what if I had to go pee? I don't know.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, suddenly they've ripped up my whole house. Like you have to like really prepare for like the dumbest worst thing that you could do and do that, you know. And so like,
God, I really need to reevaluate that. Like, yeah, sometimes I'm a dumbass is a great way to live.
Yeah, because I just think, like, I remember, actually, I feel like I heard that idea once, like, at a church when I was growing up, was, like, the worst way, if you look at somebody else and think, like, wow, I'm so glad I could never do that, then that puts you in a position of being, like, so vulnerable to that very thing. That's, that's, like, the pride that cometh before the fall. So, like, thinking, like, oh, my God, I could never, ever hurt my babies is, like, but, like, if your brain is, like, not right, you maybe could. So, like, you have to just pay attention to, like, am I okay? Like, let me check in on myself. And when you have a kid, your doctors will, like, and especially, like, your pediatrician and your gynecologist will, like, there's, like, a survey that they give you that's, like, it's, like, the same 20 questions. You have to answer it, like, 80 times in the first 3 months of your kid's life. But thank God you do. It's, like, I laugh as much as I used to. I, or, like, I feel like I can't do anything right. true to not true. Or I feel like I cry a lot more than I used to, or I feel more run down. Like, it's just like a general checklist. Mm-hmm. But what I was saying earlier was, like, in, you know, in the UK and in France, like, they'll usually have a midwife come by your house a couple of times in the first few weeks of your kid's life to do that kind of check. Not just to have you fill out a survey in the office to give you, like, a CYA situation, but, like, I really want to see, like, is everything okay here? Mm-hmm. I mean, is this the level of mess in a house that happens because you just had a baby, or is this level of mess in a house that happens because you are, like, you've given up and you're not okay, you know? And so,
I think another good thing about those countries is that your basic needs are being met so much that, like, the people that are in the position of checking in on those people are not doing it, like, for the job security.
Right.
Like, they're doing it because that's vocationally what they've chosen.
Yeah. And I also think that generally when your basic needs are being met, you're far less likely to be suffering from, like, there's extreme mental health problems that would happen regardless of your situation. But then there are some things where it's like, it is very situational. Like, in the US, it's incredibly hard to be a poor person. You know, like, poverty is a grind, and it costs a lot of money to be poor. Like, you incur fees on various things and blah, 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 blah. Anyways, all that to say, there's, like, a level of indignity that just grinds on you, I think, when you don't have, like, a support network. So,
well, I mean, you know, all that to say, this recently, like, I've bounced between the West and the East and the West side of downtown.
Yeah.
And Austin has, like, homelessness is a big topic right now.
Yeah.
Granted, I don't always love how it's framed as an inconvenience for people who have
homes. No, I hate when that happens.
Yeah, it's disgusting. But one thing I've noticed is, like, working on the West side, I'm right by a humongous, like, nationally huge library.
Right.
And there are homeless people over there. They are calmer.
Mm-hmm.
They seem fine.
Well, that library is also, it's set up to be mm-hmm. a haven for the unhoused.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful space. And that's a thing that, like, I feel like when people are given access to things that are of beauty.
Yeah.
And told, like, you are worthy of seeing this thing that is beautiful. There is natural light here. There's mm-hmm. air conditioning. There's sculptures.
There's a place to sit. There's water books. And there's AC, which is also crucial. But when you look at, like, the east side of downtown near the shelter,
mm-hmm.
there's people all around there that are clearly not well.
Mm-hmm.
They're like...
Yeah.
Like, one hair trigger away from not being okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is the difference between, like, having your basic needs met and not having your basic needs
right.
met.
Right. Totally.
Like, and it's wild to see it, like, in a 2-mile distance.
Totally. It is absolutely true. Yeah. I mean, I'll have to say, like...
So The Others was a fun movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was really poignant for me at the end. The last time I watched it, I think, was when I was, like, 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing it now as a mother... You know, especially on this side of, like, understanding how life grinds on you as you get older. You're like, probably when I was 15, I was like, oh my God, how dare she? I could never. And now I'm like, she was really sad.
Yeah.
That's really sad that she was so sad, you know, and that she was so hard up. But I'm really thankful that her kids gave her a redemptive moment and that they found some beauty on the other side together, you know?
Yeah. One thing I wondered about the movie is, like, so I see the class divide is still, like, on
right, the yes, other at the side end, of things. I know, at the end when Bertha's like, can I get you some tea, ma'am? It's like, well, okay, but the gig is up, bitch.
It's
obvious. She's not paying you.
Right. I can't even... Okay. I make this comparison knowing it's not a one-to-one at all.
Right.
But I sometimes wonder... So I was watching the Ken Burns country thing, and they're talking about how there was a phase of country where people would romanticize slavery and talk about, like, things were easier then. Like,
gross.
Like, white people would write songs from the perspective of black people of, like, I miss when I was taken care of.
Oh my God.
It's disgusting. It's foul. But I also, like, to a much, much lesser degree, like, when there was truly, like, a serving class in England, like, I feel like there's a lot of media that's, like, upstairs, downstairs did this too, where it's like, no, we'd like to take care of you.
Oh.
We love it.
Downton Abbey totally does that.
Downton Abbey, and this too, where it's like, even in death, I would choose to make tea for you. And
no.
It's like, are you sure though?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
But do you really know?
Like, obviously nowhere near the same thing, but it seems like someone in a position of privilege wanting so badly to believe that the person that they're subjugating loves it.
Right.
Yeah.
Downton Abbey totally does that. Like, they, there's Anyways, the main servant and Mary, Lady Mary, have this very kind of sweet relationship where he seems like somebody that's kind of like, I'm always looking out for you. I want the best for you. Almost like a kindly old uncle.
Sure, but even but if the you thing love
is,
your boss,
no, 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 but the thing is, it's like, that's messed up, though. Right. I mean, like, there are so many times where she, like, throws him under the bus or is unkind to him in front of, like, her other rich friends. And it's just, like, it's just, power dynamics are such that, like, there is no, like, perfectly ethical relationship between a servant class and a wealthy class. No, there can't
be. Yeah. And you can, like, be like, oh, it's genteel. They found an understanding. But it's like, I don't know, dog. Someone's still hoarding wealth here.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So I don't, yeah, that was the one thing that kind of pinged me. I was like, wait a second. Why is she offering to make her, I mean, maybe if it's just, like, out of an act of, like, general kindness. Like,
that's what I'm gonna,
you just realize that you are,
like, we're homegirls now because we're both dead. This is your last one.
I hope so. I hope that's what's up. But
because I would be like, grab a mop, bitch.
house is not gonna clean itself.
You got time to lean, you got time to clean. I'm gonna give you one day to process through the fact that you're dead now.
And then you and your children are gonna have to start pitching around here. And guess
what? Don't shy away from the windows now, mama, because I know that you can get them.
Right, okay?
Trust. Grab the Windex.
And you're not gonna get sunburned as a ghost, so there's that on that.
There's that on that.
Don't you know those house, the people that are coming to look at homes are like, wow, this is really well kept for a for a vacant home.
Like, really a lot, like, very fresh pine saw.
Pine saw. I was gonna say the same.
Pine saw was like, oh, that is class.
This place is clean.
What happened to her?
I don't know. You got anything else to say about this flick?
No, I feel like that was, like, kind of a heavy ep.
It was, but you know, I mean, the story is honestly kind of heavy.
It is. It is.
And it's ultimately sweet and redemptive, I think.
Do we CW this bad boy?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe we do.
We're learning, y'all.
Anyway, so next week we are watching. You want to tell them? You want to tell the folks?
Oh my God, I'm so excited. And I learned about it an hour ago.
Yeah.
It's a, I didn't want to do the film, but my manager, Gary Greasy, told me to do the film. It is a film called Gothic.
Starring Gabriel Byrne. Mm. We don't have enough of him on this pod.
Honestly, he's one of 10 men.
One of the only 10.
What's,
And Natasha Richardson.
What branch of, what flavor of Christian is it where they're like, there's only 144,000?
Oh, that's Jehovah's Witnesses. I was just talking about that with Brooke earlier. It's a cult.
I'm that, but there's only 10 men, and I hope you get chosen.
Yeah. And it's Gabriel Byrne.
Gabriel Byrne and Michael Sheen are two of them.
That's it. And who else?
We'll go over it another time.
That's for another day.
I need to really think about it. But anyway, Gothic. Natasha Richardson, Gabriel Byrne. It is about,
it's an hour and a half long. It's about
hour and a half long.
Lord Byron
and Mary Shelley.
And it's a 86 flick, which is a great year.
Yeah. And it took us about 2 minutes to find a fan video where someone said it to a Kate Bush song.
So, you know, it's for our people.
It looks like high camp.
Yeah. It honestly looks bad. So lower your expectations, but, like, have fun.
You know what? It'll be a good, like, palate cleanser after this episode about grief.
Well, okay. Grief is important. It's part of the human experience.
It is true.
All right. Okay. Until next week, when we watch Gothic, and I will come to you on the other side of having been to Disney.
Oh.
Watch out. Don't be jealous. Bye.
Bye.